We left off last time on Yudalad Amud Beis, almost smack in the middle of the page. The Mishnah had the statement of Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Parsha Shema. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's explanation in the Mishnah was that first you want to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and only after you accept God's dominion, then his control over the world, so then you can accept what are the mitzvahs that he wants us to do. And then after that, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said that Vayam Shemoa precedes Parshav Tzitzis, because Hayam Shemoa is Noheg during the day and night, Kabbalah HaMitzvahs in general, whereas Mitzvah Tzitzis is only at night. There are a couple of Tosafim here. It's somewhat interesting. If you look at the top two Tosafim, Lama and Vayomer, you may not have in your edition. In my Oz V'Hadar edition, I have a note that says that these belong on the Mishnah. And it's not uncommon to find this type of a note where the Tosos on the Mishnah is printed in the wrong place. Or they'll say it's Shayach to the Mishnah earlier. The truth is, in reality, it's actually not. In fact, some editions you may even find that the Mishnah, a piece of the Mishnah, is printed later here. In other words, they didn't have that whole Mishnah earlier, but rather it might have come in the Gemara right here, if there even was a Mishnah, which there probably wasn't. So the comment is just as relevant here as it is on the Mishnah. It's just that at some point they pulled all the material to the earlier, or they've joined Mishnayos, and so you're seeing the Mishnah is printed on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, even though the Tosafim retain their place where they probably originally would have been comments in the Gemara. Again, what is Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis? Obviously, when in manuscript they didn't have Dapim the way we do. It didn't have our pagination. So Tosos has an interesting comment about the Mishnah's question: why does Parsha Shema come before Vayim Shemoa? Satosa says, isn't it obvious why? Because Shema comes before Vayim Shemoa in the Torah. Shema is in Parshas Vayeschanan, and Vayim Shemoa is in Parshas Hekev the next week. So of course Shema comes first. Satosa explains, no, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha already understood that the Parshios are not in the order that they're found in the Torah, because while Shema and Vayim Shemoa do follow the order, Parshas Vayomer, Parshas Tzitzis, is in the previous Sefer. It's in Sefer Bamidbar at the end of Parshas Shlach. So once you see what you see from the third parsha being placed last in Kriya Shema is that we don't really care about how it's ordered in the Torah. The order in the Torah tells us nothing, and therefore the Gemara wants to know, and the Mishnah Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha wants to know why this order. Top brief comment, and I don't want to explore this, and I have to admit to being a bit confused. Tosus raises an issue here, which I don't understand, about the fact that the mitzvah tzitzis, the Mishnah says, or Yeshua ben Karcha says, only applies during the day, not at night. In truth, there really is a machlokas whether or not tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shesman krama. And there is a position that is cited in the Gemara. It's a brais, it's a machlokas. In the Gemara Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, whether or not women require tzitzis on their begadim. And there is a machlokas about whether tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shesman grama. Rabbi Shimon happens to say it is a mitzvah saseh shesman grama, and that's how we paskin, and therefore we assume that women are not obligated to wear tzitzis. We often say there are two ways of formulating this idea that tzitzis is not a nighttime mitzvah. The way we usually state it is that it doesn't matter what kind of a garment you're wearing. If it's at night, it's not obligated in tzitzis. If it's during the day, it is obligated in tzitzis. The other formulation, and Tosus offers this here, and this I think is really a machlokas harishonim, is it's not whether what time it is, but whether it's a ksus yom or a ksus laila. Is it a garment that's typically worn during the day, or a garment that's typically worn, let's say, only at night? If it's worn during the day, even if it's also worn at night, then it's chayv in tzitzis. If it's a garment that's only worn at night, so then it would be pater from tzitzis. Tosus states, and I think this is actually possibly reasonable, that even if you believe that the mitzvah of tzitzis is not dependent upon the time of day per se, but on the garment and when it's worn, Tosus thinks that's still called the mitzvah saseh shesman grama. Tosus seemingly wants to deny, if you read that, I'm not going to read the Tosus, wants to deny that anyone holds that sits is in the mitzvah of Tzitzis Man Gwama, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha on the Mishnah says the third parsha of Tzitzis is not relevant at night. I don't understand, because the Gemara Menachos is quite clear that there is an opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because one of the Amoraim used to put Tzitzis on the garments of every person in his household, the females included, because he held it wasn't the mitzvah of Tzitzis Man Gwama. So I don't really understand what Tosis is driving at. But we Paskin Tzitzis is the mitzvah seishes man grama, but there are two formulations as to how it's defined day versus night, when you're wearing the garment or when that garment is typically worn. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to present an alternative system for explaining the order of the Parshias of Kriya Shema. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, by right, Shema should come first before you read Vahayim Shemoa. This is not about importance, but it is about a proper order of doing things. We might say that teaching Torah is often considered more important than learning Torah, in the sense that there are situations that if you're studying Torah yourself personally, you have to interrupt to do certain mitzvahs or certain other things. Whereas it might be that if you're teaching Torah, you don't have to stop. We saw perhaps an example of this earlier on Yud Gimel Beis, that Rebbe didn't stop to say Kriya Shema because he was teaching Torah. If he were just studying Torah, so he probably would have stopped to say, normally you'd stop to say Kriya Shema. But in order to be able to teach, the first thing you have to be able to do is to learn. If you don't have material and knowledge, no matter how clever you are, it's very difficult to transmit and to teach others. So the Mishnah, the Rabbi Shimon ben Chai says in the Braisa that Kriya Shema, which is v'dibarta bom, which is you are supposed to speak and learn about a Torah. So that comes before, in the second parsha, v'limadtemo samas b'nechem, before teaching your children, before teaching your students. So Shema comes first because it's low mode, and Hayim Shemoa comes second because it's a lame, because first you have to learn in order to be able to teach. Then Vahaya im Shamoa, the Gemara says, Levayomer, Shazelumod, Zelamed, Vizelasos. Vahayam Shamoa precedes Parshas Vayomer because Vahayam Shamoa is about teaching, but Parshas Tzitzis is about doing. And perhaps the assumption is that you learn, you teach, and then you do. Although we would probably say you actually learn and then you do in order to be able to do or to perform, except that the Gemara is about to change this anyway. So the Gemara immediately asks, Otu. Shema lilmod ispe lalamed velasos lespe. The first parsha of Shema is only about learning. It's not about teaching and doing. After all, v'haksiv v'shinantam. It's not just v'divar ta'abam. You should study Torah. It's v'shinantam levarecha. You have to teach your children. And it also says ukshartam uksaftam, the mitzvah tefillin, the mitzvah tzitzis, not doing mitzvahs. So that's question number one. What do you mean that the parsha of Shema is only lilmod? The two, in addition, it's only about teaching. There's nothing about doing. The second parsha of Shema also talks about performance of mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, "Elahachi kamar." Now, bedinhu shetiktam Shema levahaya im Shemoa, shezelumod ulalamed vilasos. The first parsha of Shema contains all three: studying, teaching, and doing the mitzvahs. Then Mahayam Shemoa Levayomer, Shazay Yeshba Luma Lalame de Lassos, Vayomer Imbala Lassos Bilvad. The second parsha contains the message about teaching others and about performing the mitzvahs. The third parsha only contains performance of the mitzvahs. So Kriya, the first parsha has three elements. One goes first. The second parsha has two elements, and therefore it comes second. And then the third parsha has only one element, and it therefore it goes last. So now the Gemara asks, why do you need Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's reason? V'tefek le'mei the Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Why do you need this explanation? You have Rabbi Shua ben Karcha's explanation. So the Gemara, and the question is not such a strong question. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai thought there was a different reason, or he thought there was an additional reason, which in effect is what the Gemara says. Chad v'od kamar. Yeah. The answer is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wasn't arguing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. He was offering an additional reason. Yes, one reason is Chada kedei sheyikabel lov amal chashamayim chila v'achar kach yikabel lov mitzvos v'od mishum de'is behani min v'echar rene'asa. In other words, yes, you're right. There can be more than one reason. Rabbi Shimon Yochai wasn't coming to say that he didn't think Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha's reason was sufficient. He was offering an alternative reason. Okay. Enough of the drushes.
I just want to say that in medical school, when we're learning how to do things, people ask, how do you learn how to do it? The rule is see one, do one, teach one.
Right. So that's not the order. So in the end of the Gemara, it doesn't matter because you get all three in the first parasha, two in the second parasha, one in the last. But you're correct that the natural order would have been lomod, lasos, and lamed. But in the end, the Gemara doesn't need to get there because the Gemara in the end says that it's not based upon logical order of what you do first, what you do second, but rather numerical, what things are contained in each parsha. How many things are contained in each parsha?
Oh, Rabbi, yes. Rabbi, question. You referred to the Gemara in Menachos about women putting on tzitzit. About 6-7 years ago, I spent a day with the Natura Karta Chevra Kedish in Yerushalayim, and I participated in the Tahara, and I asked them about their menhagim, and they said that they put on a talis cotton on every deceased woman, and they cut off, yes, and they quoted this Gemara, and I did some more research. There's a very long Taz, Shin Nun Aleph or Shin Nun Bet, that explains it. But you know, talking about this, at Hayom, this was 6 years ago, they put a talis cotton on a woman.
Wow. That's rather progressive, especially from the Torah Karta, but okay.
Okay. It sounds astounding. Yep.
Right. Okay. All right. So now the Gemara turns back his attention, practically speaking. Rav, this is three lines before the line, the third to last really narrow line in the Gemara. Rav Moshe Yodeh V'kara Kriya Shema V'anach Tfilin, and then Umetzale. Now, probably that's the Bach's correction. I think that probably is the wrong text. I don't know why he corrects that. It's clear Rashi doesn't have that. Rashi probably has Vitzale. I'll explain the difference between the two. It means literally, Rav washed his hands, read Kriya Shema, put on tefillin, and then davened. The difference between tzaleh and umitzaleh, on the surface, is just that one of them is a past tense. One of them is a present tense, mitzaleh. The difference in meaning is not so much how you translate, but whether or not this was something that was habitual. Was it repetitive? In other words, was this what Rav used to do, or is this what Rav did once? And Rashi is going to write that it happened in the end. This is something that happened once. If you look at on the words Rav Moshe Yadeh, it's very far up in the Rashi's. It's many, many lines up. Rashi writes Pa'am Achas Ra'uhu She'asakein. They once saw Rav do this. He washed his hands, read Kriya Shema, put on tefillin, and that's why it should be Vitzali. And he davened. Mitzali means this is what he would do, and he would daven. No, it happened once. So what's odd about this, obviously, is that he put on tefillin after he said Kriya Shema, before he davened, which raises two questions for us as a reader, and should, one which is going to be broached by the Gemara, one which is not. The first question, which is broached by the Gemara, is, why didn't he put on tefillin before Kriya Shema? You're going to say, if you are obligated in the midst of tefillin and you're not wearing it when you say Kriya Shema, that would seem to be a little ridiculous. Number two is, if he put on the tefillin, his tefillin, after he read Kriya Shema, before he davened, how did he do that without it constituting an interruption? Presumably he made a bracha when he put on his tefillin. So what does that mean? Supposing you didn't have tefillin, and if you don't have tefillin and you're not going to get tefillin, you still say Kriya Shema and daven. And then, you know, right before Gal Yisrael, somebody finds, rummaging around inside the bima, finds the spare tefillin, pair of tefillin that the shul has, and they give it to you. And now the question is, well, what do I do? So it sounds like Rav put on his tefillin and then he daven. So the question you have to ask is, what happens to smichas ge'ula l'tefillah? We made a big deal about that in the previous parak, that you, some Gal Yisrael, you immediately should start to daven. So perhaps this is more significant than smichas kol tefillah. Maybe it's better to put it on, better to put on the tefillin. But that's a question that the Rishonim are going to grapple with. What do you do if you don't have tefillin or you don't have talis, and you get one in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema? What do you do? When do you put them on? What do you do in terms of brachos? Is it an interruption or not? So the Gemara immediately asks, V'heichi Ovid Hachi, how could Rav do that? And the question the Gemara is asking is, how could he say Kriya Shema before he put on tefillin? V'hatanya, we have taught in a braisa, Hachofer Kuch Lemes. I'm going to leave out the word Bakever. Someone who is digging a koch, a crypt for a mace, and the way you used to dig, I mean, it wouldn't really matter. You could dig it the way they dig it today, which is into the ground. The way their graves were usually constructed, at least as the Mishnah in Bava Basra, and I think the sixth parak or seventh parak that describes it, is that they used to dig crypts. In other words, they would have they would dig into the side of the ground, and they would sort of dig out little tiny caves in which they would put the body. Very often they would put the body there until the flesh had totally decomposed, and they would do what was then called likur atzamos, and they might put it in an ossuary, in like a small stone box or something like that. But the Mishnah Bava Basra, speaking about contract law, talks about when you are hired to dig kvarim, to dig kuchim, how many do you dig, in what kind of space, how much space in between them, how thick the walls in between them. It's a basic, you know, I don't call it a zoning issue, but it's contract law. So that's how, that's the kind of burial that is described in rabbinic literature. I don't want to claim this with any certitude. I'm not familiar with any types of kvarim the way we dig, sort of from the top of the ground in, until at least the Rishonim are talking about it and discussing how certain halachos apply. There's a particular issue that the Rishonim struggle with, partially because their realia has changed. They talk about a gola of a dofek, two parts of a grave that convey tumah. And what is a gola of a dofek? So the Rishonim give all sorts of explanations, but I think the simple explanation of a gola of a dofek was they used to roll a rock in front of the opening of the koch, and then they would wedge other rocks underneath it in order to keep it in place. And that was the goal of a dofek. But once you move to a system in which you bury a body, maybe in a coffin in the ground from the top, and you cover it with dirt, it becomes a totally different, it doesn't fit quite the same model. So anyway, someone is digging a koch for a mace. He's not doing this because he does this for a living and they prepare them in advance. And whenever somebody needs, there's one ready. He's doing this because there's somebody who's died and needs a place to be buried. So he's now digging a koch. So the Mishnah, the Braisa says, he's exempt from these mitzvahs because, as Rashi explained, ha'osek b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. A person who's engaged in a mitzvah is exempt from doing other mitzvahs that come along at that time. Then the Braisa says, strangely, higi hazman kriya shema, if the time of kriya shema arrives and he's been digging, ole means he climbs up, and probably it's ole because at least the way it's described in the Mishnayos is you'd have what was called a chatzar hakever. It was like an open air space, which might be in the middle of a series of passages. And each passage was lined on either side by individual crypts that you put bodies in. But you had this area that you would descend into and then would dig into the sides. So that's why he has to be ola. He climbs out of where he's digging from. And he then puts on tefillin, and he washes his hands, no tel yada, meiniach tefillin, he puts on tefillin, v'korei kriyashma, then he says kriyashma umespala. Now the Gemara has to deal with two separate problems. Obviously you might have picked up on the fact, the reason why they're citing this is because the order is different than Rav did it. But before you get there, the Gemara immediately realizes there's an internal contradiction in the Braisa. The Gemara says, hagufa kasha, on the second medium with line, Reisha Amar Potter, you initially started by saying that someone who's chofer koch lames, he's digging this crypt for a deceased person, he's potter from Kriya Shema, Tvila, Tvilin, all the mitzvahs of Omer Spatora. And then you turn around and say, when Zaman Kriya Shema comes, he climbs out of his digging and he washes his hands, says Kriya Shema, etc. So you just said he's potter from doing these things. And potter, it means it would also be inappropriate for him to stop. His job is to do that mitzvah of digging to prepare the gever for the mace. So the Gemara says, no. So again, Hagufa Kasha, there's an internal contradiction. Reisha Ma Potter V'Seifa Chayiv. So the Gemara says, holokasha, that's not a problem. Seifa betrei v'reisha b'chad. The second half of the Braisa is a case where there are actually two people digging the crypt, and there has to be an assumption made here as well. It's not discussed because this is not the main sugya. There's an assumption that only one person can be digging at a time. They're taking turns because one person digs some, and they're digging into rock, remember. They're not necessarily just digging into dirt. They're often having to carve out rock. So they take turns resting. So while you're digging and I'm in rest, if Zman Kriyashma comes, I will go say Kriyashma, then I'll take over for you, because only one of us can dig at a time, and you'll say Kriyashma. The first part of the Mishnah is when there was only one person to dig the kever, and therefore he's potter from Kriyashma. Even if Zman Kriyashma comes, he just keeps digging. Okay.
Leader?
Yes.
Why aren't Tefillin and Tefillah and Kriyashma all mitzvos hamurus b'Torah also? Why are they singled out from all the other mitzvos hamurus b'Torah?
So Tosos asked that question. He doesn't ask the question with respect to Tefillin, but with respect to Kriyashma. That's why I mention that. And Tosos suggests, I think it's true for Kriyashma and Tefillah perhaps, and not really Tefillin. He says you might have thought that you're putter only from mitzvos which don't have a fixed time, which are not going to expire. But if you keep digging, you'll miss Kriyashma, you might miss Tefillah. That's why the Brice has to state that even mitzvos which are ovros, have a zman kavua, and whose time is going to pass, you still don't stop in order to do those mitzvos. And it's actually rather interesting. Purim is over, but I guess they're still, they're still celebrating Purim in Yerushalayim, I think. They're certainly probably still drinking. They apparently don't need an excuse for that. So on Purim, the Gemara says, interestingly enough, that we are mevatel avoda in the Mikdash in order to go hear Mikra Megillah. And there's only one thing that takes precedence over Mikra Megillah, which is burying a mace mitzvah, a mace who has no one else to bury him or her, or where there aren't enough people that are appropriate for kavod mace. So only a mace mitzvah takes precedence over Megillah. But the irony of both of these halachos, as the Rishonim point out, and as the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, is that it's actually, in a weird way, the reverse. In other words, nobody would say that if there's only enough time to do the avoda or to hear the Megillah, let's say it's the end of the day, and for some reason they haven't brought the Tamid Shobein Harabayim yet. And if they go hear Mikra Megillah now, if the Kohanim all go hear Mikra Megillah, then they're not going to have a time to bring the Karban Tamid. So even though the Gemara says that the Kohanim are Mevat L'Mavoda in order to hear the Megillah, that's only if there will be time to do the Avoda afterwards. In other words, the Bittul is only for precedence. But if you have to choose between doing one or the other, of course you didn't bring the Tamid. It's a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Mikra Megillah is only Rabbanan. And Sam, on the flip side, when we say that Meis Mitzvah takes precedence over Megillah, that's only if there's enough time after you bury the Meis Mitzvah to hear the Megillah. If you don't, then you read the Megillah first, and then you bury the Meis Mitzvah. So at least when it comes to Mikra Megillah, that is a case where even a Meis Mitzvah, the Braisa here doesn't talk about it, but Mikola Mitzvah Samuras Betorah would not include Mikra Megillah. If you didn't have enough time to do it afterwards, you would actually stop your digging, hear the Megillah, and then go back and continue the digging and then bury the mace. So Tosis at least says that the reason why Kriyashma, and he doesn't say, but presumably Tefillah also, has to be singled out is because they are sha'overis. They're potentially going to, you can miss it, there's a deadline, and therefore the Braisa feels necessary for it to state that even these mitzvahs are part of that which the digger is.
Peter, how to read a Braisa? It says Sefer Betray, the Sefer that says that he can, depart from burying and do these other mitzvahs is Betray. Where in the text of the Braisa is there room to say it's Betray? I understand it solves the problem, but where in the language of the Braisa does it say, it looks like it's all talking about one person. Where they just bend Trey out of thin air.
No question about it. It is not there. I'm trying to remember now. There is a statement of Hayushtayim, then one does one and the other one, while the other one does this. But I don't remember if there's another Gemara somewhere. I don't see anything in the Masoras HaShas, or it's just that's what to be shown and put in. That based upon this Gemara, the way they formulate is Hayushtayim. But you're right. Looking at the Braisa itself, there is nothing in it that suggests that there are two.
What would the Chiddush be? Also, what's the Chiddush? That if you're saying that he's totally free and he's uninvolved in the process of burying the mace, unless you want to say the Chiddush is that he, you know, those who wait also serve, that he needs to not even move for a minute. Maybe his friend will stop burying and he'll be davening, and then there'll be a moment where they won't be burying the dead, the mace. So maybe he needs to just not even, he needs to wait and not do anything.
So,
but no, he doesn't have to wait.
Your question is a good one. The Rishonim, when this din is quoted in Yoredeh and Hilchos Avelos, I don't think they offer that qualification. My guess would simply be the following. The reason why the Braisa would state, would feel, it's not a huge chiddush, but the reason the Braisa might feel the need to state that is because there are two kinds of people. We're going to see this at the beginning of the third parak. Isaac's going to be very happy when we get to the beginning of the third parak, because a lot of Avelus stuff right there. Misha Mesa Muta Lefanam. So there we see two kinds of people who are exempt from mitzvos relating to a mace. The people, the Avelim themselves, who are still in Aninus, they're in that period before the deceased has been buried, and they're exempt from all mitzvos. And then there are the people who are engaged with Tzorche HaMeis, in taking care of the needs of the deceased, even though they themselves are not the mourners. And the distinction the Gemara draws between the two of them is that the Onanim, the future mourners, the relatives of the deceased, are exempt, even though there's nothing that they're doing for the needs of the mace. Whereas the people who are involved in taking care of the needs of the mace, at any moment that they're not, we don't say that it's part of a longer process and that they're exempt until the deceased is buried, but rather no, their exemption is not a categorical one. But rather it's simply when it's necessary for them to do it, to be engaged in dealing with the needs of the mace, then they do it. Otherwise they're not exempt. You could have perhaps asked, I would have thought, a better question. I mean, you asked two very good questions there. But a third question, which is, why are they pater from Kriya Shema? Presumably they could stop for 10 seconds to say the first pasuk, and then they could, or first two pasukim, and they could read the rest of it. Like we'll learn later in this parak. I think it's where the Mishnah is probably on Daf Zayin, that workers continue working, but they stop to say the first parsha of Kriya Shema. I mean, that really wouldn't take so much time away from their digging in order to say Kriya Shema. So I'm not sure the answer to that question either. But so I'm going to leave those alone for now. But the Gemara now has, for it, to its satisfaction, even if not to ours, resolve the contradiction within the Braisa, but Mikomakom on the third medium with line in the Gemara, Kashya L'Rav, because Rav in the story that we told read Kriya Shema first and then put on his tefillin and then said his Amida, whereas in the Braisa the instructions given are put on your tefillin, wash your hands, put on your tefillin, read Kriya Shema and daven. So why? How do you explain what Rav did? So the Gemara says, Rav Kab Yeshua ben Karcha Svirlei. The Omar Al Machos Shemayim Pchila Ve'achar Kach Ol Mitzvos. So the Gemara suggests that Rav believes that first you're Mekabel Ol Machos Shemayim and then you do mitzvos. So Rav thought, at least the Gemara is suggesting for the moment, it's going to reject this. But Rav thought that it's appropriate to first accept God's yoke and then you do his mitzvos. So first you say Kriya Shema, then you put on your tefillin. Not put on your tefillin before Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, excuse me. Amar the Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, lahaktim kriya le kriya. Kriya la siyam isham islay. It's one thing to say that you read, what you're going to read about two parshias. First read the parsha about Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Then read about Kabbalah Samitzvahs. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't, when you're Mekabel Omach Shemayim every day, that's not the first time you're observing mitzvahs. It's not the first time you're accepting God's yoke. We don't say, you know what? I don't have to keep Shabbos today, you know, until I say Kriya Shema. You know, after, let's say we're busy, some people, even though it's not ideal, they might have made their Purim Suda late in the day and run straight into Shabbos, called Pores Mapo Mekadesh. You know, there is such an institution where you're eating from before Shabbos and you don't have to bench. You can continue your meal, but you cover the food and then you say Kiddush and then you continue your meal and you'll daven later. So would anybody say, well, you know what, if I'm not Mekabel, if I haven't said Kriya Shema yet and Shabbos has begun, I can do Malacha because I don't do mitzvos until after I've been mekabel al machshamayim. That's ridiculous. We were mekabel al machshamayim at Sinai, mekabel al machshamayim when we're born. However we get our Jewishness, that's when we're mekabel al machshamayim. And now we have to do all the mitzvahs. Kriya Shema is just reciting. It's a reminder that we are bound to God's mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, again, Eimer Dam Rabbi Shimon Karcha, lahaktim kriya lekriya. If you're going to read about two different things and it's just kriya, it's not doing anything, then yeah, you put the Kabbalah Omach Shemayim before the observance of mitzvahs. But Kriya La Asira Mishamit, Miasila Mishamit, we never heard Rabbi Shimon Karcha say that until after you've read Shema, you don't do mitzvahs. But two, Misavar like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, assuming that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha would have said, which the Gemara says it isn't. But even if you assume that's what he would have said, that you should say Kriya Shema and then put on tefillin, because you don't do mitzvahs until after you read Shema. The two misavar like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, did Rav actually hold like Rabbi Shimon Karcha? V'hamar Rav Chiya Barashi. Rav Chiya Barashi, who was a student of Rav, said, Zimnin sagiyin hava ka'emna kamei derav. There were many times I was in Rav's presence. Umaktim umashe yadei. He would wash his hands very early. Umavarech, and he would make the bracha, presumably al natila sedayim. Umasni lan pirka, and then he would teach us our shir mishnayis. And then umanach tefillin, then he would put on tefillin, v'hadar kara kriya shema, and then he would read kriya shema. So you see that frequently, Rechiya Barashi testifies, frequently, Rav would put on tefillin before kriya shema. So how can you, if that means that Rav doesn't, even assuming that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha would say that kriya shema should be said before you put on the tefillin, Rav doesn't hold that way. So the truth is, of course, now you have an internal contradiction in what Rav did. But note, without the correction of Bach earlier, the way Rashi explains, the first story that's told happened once. Here, Chiya Barashi is saying, this is something that I frequently saw. Many times I was in Rav's presence, and this is what he did. So the Gemara says, and b'chitema b'dalo mata zman kriya shema. You might make the following suggestion. You know how to resolve the issue? Rav normally would say Kriya Shema before putting on tefillin. But in this particular instance, the instances that Rav Chiya Barashi describes was a case where Zman Kriya Shema hadn't arrived yet. Rav got up early in the morning. He's Makdim, very, very early. And that language is not found in the first statement. Makdim, he was up very early, washed his hands, gave a daf yomi shir to the students. And guess what? It was a short daf. You know, Arvei Pesachim is a fairly short dafim, if you're just reading the Gemara and Rashbam. So Rav finished the shir early, and it wasn't time to say Kriya Shema yet. So he put on tefillin. That's why. But maybe ordinarily Rav would have done like the first story. If you're going to say that, the Gemara says, again, b'chitema b'dolomata zman Kriya Shema, in kain my asadase der Chiya Barashi. So the Gemara wants to know, what was the Chiya Barashi coming to tell us? If not, to teach us the order that Rav did things in. Tefillin, Kriya Shema, Amida, as opposed to Kriya Shema, tefillin, Amida. So what was the point of Chiya Barashi telling us that, if not to tell us that Rav Dafka put on tefillin before Kriya Shema, even though he could have? In other words, it was a choice to do the two, and he put on tefillin first. So now the Gemara pushes this aside and says, no, lafuke mimanda amar, lemishna ain't tzarech levarech. Kamash Malon. We explored this earlier towards the end of the first parak, that maybe Chiya Barashi was, the whole purpose of his telling us this was not about the order of Kriya Shema and tefillin for Rav. It was to tell us that you have to make Birchos HaTorah. Rav Kadim Umashi Yadei Umavarech is not on the Til Sadaim. It's on Birchos HaTorah. Because we had a discussion earlier, when do you have to say Birchos HaTorah? And some say that you only have to say it if you study Torah Shebichsav, because that's what God gave us explicitly and fully and directly. Torah Shebapeh, God gave us some of it, and some of it we created out of what God gave us. So you might think you don't have to say Birchos HaTorah. So that's what Rechiv Rashi was telling you, that to exclude the opinion, to reject the opinion of those who say, Lemishna ain't tzarech levarech. If you're studying Mishnayis, you don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah, Kamash Malon, Da'af Lemishna Nami, tzarech levarech. Okay, so we're not gonna suggest, anyway, even though it might be possible, the Gemara says, Mikom Akom Kasha, Kasha L'Rav. How do you explain the contradiction between Rav's two behaviors, which comes first? So the Gemara here, I am reminded of the very famous story we tell of the Hasidim, a particular sect of Hasidim that whenever they enter the shul, they lower their heads. Many of you know this story. Why do they lower their heads? Because in Europe, the doorway was very low and the Rebbe was very tall. And in order for the Rebbe to get into shul, he had to lower his head to go underneath it. So the Hasidim all follow that, right? You're very balabatish. There's no lumdus here. It's very, very simple. It's a practical reason. So the Gemara's answer is shlucho hoda avis. Someone was bringing Raz Tefillin and they messed up. Avis means they made it crooked. They messed up. And therefore, he didn't have the Tefillin. And Zman Kriya Shema was passing. So Rav said, well, I'm going to say Kriya Shema because I have no choice. And then the Shaliach, you know, he missed the train he was supposed to get. He arrived 2 minutes late. So Rav said Kriya Shema. So then he brought Rav the Tefillin and Rav put it on. But in principle, one is supposed to be wearing Tefillin. If one is obligated in the midst of Tefillin, then one is supposed to be wearing Tefillin when reciting Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. Right? At night, we don't put on Tefillin. So there, or a woman who doesn't put on Tefillin, there's no idea putting on Tefillin when you say Kriya Shema. But if you're obligated to put on Tefillin and you're supposed to put on Tefillin, and it's a time you put on Tefillin and you're going to say Kriya Shema, you're supposed to have your Tefillin on when you recite Kriya Shema. The Gemara will talk about that more in a moment. There is kind of an interesting discussion here. Tosas has, Dibar Maschel Umanach Tefillin Umitzalei. Tosas writes, and this is so the Gemara has resolved one problem in the Braisa and the contradiction within Rav. The contradiction in the Braisa, even if it's a difficult reading, is the first half is talking about one digger, the second half two diggers. And the contradiction with Rav is resolved by the fact that one time the Shliach didn't get there on time with his tefillin, and therefore he had no choice but to say Kriya Shema without his tefillin. But the interesting thing is that one time, or maybe it happened on occasion, Rav put on tefillin after Kriya Shema before tefillah. So Tosas writes here, "Umehasa mashma shemoto lahaniach tefillin bein geula letefillah, v'chein betalis meniach adam taliso bein geula letefillah." So Tosas thinks, you see from this that you can put on your talis, your tefillin between geula and tefillah. You finish Kriya Shema, you finish Gal Yisrael. And as opposed to starting Hashem Sasai Tiftach immediately, you put on your tefillin because you're supposed to be wearing tefillin when you did the amid as well. Now you have the tefillin, you put them on. Tosus adds in Talis, but then he says, and he writes, V'chem atzinish Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda was one of Rashi's rabbim. Shalach achar taliso. He sent for his talis, v'shah shaliach. And the shaliach took time. V'kvar kara kriya shema b'birchoseha. And he already had finished Kriya Shema with the brachos. Vinis atef betaliso, he put on the talis, the gamar shmona esri, the hevi raya me hachamei hi derav. So that's what Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, that's what he did. But Tosa says, mikoma kom yesh l'chalek bein tefillin l'talis. The ikar kriya shema utfila shaychi betfillin, ki da amar besamuch. The Gemara is going to say in a moment how significant tefillin is for really kriya shema, but Tosa says for tefillah as well. That if a person isn't wearing, Tosus here gives away his explanation of the Gemara is about to come. The Gemara says on the next line, if you hold on, let's just read the next line in the Gemara. Amar ula kolakore kriya shema b'lo tefillin, ki'ilu meyid edu sheker bi'atzma. Anyone who reads kriya shema without wearing tefillin, when they're supposed to be wearing tefillin, is as if they're testifying falsely against themselves. Rashi understands meyid edu sheker bi'atzma, the way I think Tosus does as well, which is it's as if you're testifying falsely against God. Here's God's mitzvah, and I'm not doing it. It doesn't really mean anything. Others, I think, understand this ke'ilumeid e'da sheker be'atzma, as you're testifying literally against yourself, that you don't actually, that on the one hand, you're supposed to be doing this, and on the other hand, you're failing to do your job. So Tosus, going back to Tosus, Tosus says that's why Tefillin is an integral part of Kriya Shema and I don't know why Tefillah, but he says Peirush, going back to the middle of Tosos, Eid Kir Eidus Meir Eidus Shekabatz, but Peirush Ba Adon Shetziva Shehu Kore Vayula Totafos Ula Osayadecha Va'ayin. He reads these mitzvos and he doesn't do them. So it's as if he's testifying against God that this isn't really to be taken seriously. And then Tosus says, Tfila nami kedamaran, he's going to quote the next line in the Gemara. Okay. Tosus thinks that tefillin is integral to Kriya Shema and Tfila. But he says, skip just two lines. He says, she'im elachovas talis, I'm sorry, aval tzitzis, the beginning of the next line. Aval tzitzis, she'inu elachovas talis. Tzitzis is really, it's an obligation if you have a garment that's obligated in tzitzis. You would say that tefillin is not an interruption, putting on the tefillin, because it's integral to Kriya Shema and tefillah. Tzitzis is not. If you don't happen to wear a beged, the minhag is that that men when they're alive, and apparently the trade karta for women when they're no longer alive, put on a talis katan. You're not obligated to put on a talis katan. It's very appropriate. It's very appropriate, the idea that you have an opportunity to do such an incredible mitzvah and you choose not to do it. That's not a good thing, but you're not obligated technically. If your garments that you normally would wear happen not to have four corners, which is true for the most part for most of our garments, you're not technically obligated. I know that maybe some people are having flashback to their tzitzis checks. You know, if you were clever enough, you should have said when someone called tzitzis out, you know, you point to Tosas and Brachas. Tosas says if you're not wearing such a garment, you're not obligated in doing so. And then they'd be forced to say, that's fine, but it's a school rule. But force them to acknowledge it's a school rule. It's not a technical halachic obligation. Again, from a spiritual perspective, of course, one should be wearing tzitzis. Whether forcing somebody to do that is productive is a different discussion. But bottom line is tzitzis. And if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, and that's the only garment, that's the garment you wear, and then you didn't have tzitzis on it because you couldn't get the strings, and maybe someone comes running from the Judaica store with the strings, so maybe Tosas would say, then it would be appropriate to maybe to tie the tzitzis. That would take a very long time. But certainly if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, they bring you your talis. Tosa says it may not be that it's inappropriate to interrupt between Gaul Yisrael and the Amidah because you're not really obligated to be wearing it. And therefore, if you this time, if you don't put it on for tefillah, the world's not going to end. Okay.
A question: what about the concept ha'osik b'mitzvah patim in ha'mitzvah? If you're involved in what are the parameters? How would it possibly apply here? You're doing one mitzvah, but you can't do the other one because you don't have it.
No. So the end. No. The osik b'mitzvah. If you didn't have tefillin, let's just leave with tefillin. When you started Kriya Shema. It's not an issue. Let me say, osek b'mitzvah, patam in a mitzvah is not a relevant concept here. Because in principle here, you're supposed to be wearing the tefillin while you're doing the mitzvah Kriya Shema. Two for the price of one. The better way of saying it is that tefillin, generally speaking, is not a mitzvah that we say osek b'mitzvah, patam in a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah tzvidis, right? In theory, a man is supposed to be wearing tefillin all day. So we're not going to say the following, Isaac. Okay, well, I'm wearing tefillin now, so I don't have to learn. I don't have to pick up Luvin Esrog. I don't have to do Hashavas Aveda. I don't have to help somebody when their donkey's fallen down and lift their burden up. Because of why? Because I'm doing a mitzvah now. Osip a mitzvah, patam a mitzvah. A poor person comes to ask me for tzedakah. I don't have to do that either. We don't wear it on Shabbos. But if we were wearing it on Shabbos, I don't have to make Kiddush. I don't have to do Lacha Mishnah. Because Osip a mitzvah, patam a mitzvah. So that's Osip a mitzvah, patam a mitzvah, firstly, ordinarily means when I'm actively engaged in a way that one doing one precludes doing the other. But this is a totally different category anyway, because here tefillin is supposed to be done at the same time as these, even putting aside the first consideration I just mentioned. And therefore you won't say, well, I'm reading Kriya Shema, I'm reading and I'm having tefillin from putting on the tefillin. No, because there's, you know, the proper way to be doing Kriya Shema and the proper way to be doing tefillin in this context is in fact to be wearing tefillin. So we wouldn't, you know, you're stopping to do the mitzvah properly. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Just a technical question. When Tosfos assumes that this implies that you can break up between Geula and Tefillah to put on Tefillin, does he mean that any time after you say Hashem Elokecha MMS that's already in the Geula period of time? I always assume Geula spent that between Geula and Tefillah is after you say Gal Yisrael, that you have to start saying Shemon Esrei. So how does he know here that he's not talking about, you know, when he's in the middle of MS Vyatsiv?
It's a very good question. And I don't know why he doesn't. In other words, I don't think we would say, and I don't know why. Maybe it says somewhere in the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch somewhere. Why is it that, wouldn't it be better to put it on? In other words, if we allow an interruption, right, for Shoel, or if we allow certain kinds of interruptions, why shouldn't we be allowed to do that? Why don't we do that instead of being mafsik ben gula tefillah? Right. That's in a set. I don't know if that's exactly what you're asking, but that's what it would amount to.
Yeah.
So if you remember, but this only will work for one particular. Well, let me put it this way. The Mishnah here never speaks about Smichas Gula Tefillah. It's an Amoraic principle. Mm-hmm. And one can, so on the one hand, being Somei Gula Tefillah is a tremendous thing. But if you have, and we could ask the following question, which is not explored in the sugya at all. Supposing I said, Tzri Yisrael Kuma Bezras Yisrael, Uftecha Mech Yisrael, Goleinu Hashem Shmo Kadosh Yisrael. And now I see someone who walks in who I have to have Mora for, and therefore I should greet them. Is it better to stop before Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael and greet them? Or is it better to finish Gal Yisrael and then greet them? Now, one, I don't know what it says. I don't know if the Shulchan Aruch says anything about this. The impression one gets from Tosfos here would be that it's better to finish Gal Yisrael, because even though you lose Smichas Gula Tefillah, it's not an interruption. Kriya Shema is over. Right? In other words, sometimes we have being mafsik be'emtza, in the middle of a chapter. Sometimes we have being interrupting between chapters. But it's better to not interrupt at all, to do it before, to do it after. Now, the problem that doing it after is that's when you're supposed to be saying Amida if you're Somei Gula Tefillah. But it might very well be, and I don't know, that we would say that if you're up to Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, you haven't said it yet, and there's someone who says Good Shabbos to you, or someone who you have to greet proactively, maybe you should say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, and then greet them, because you do lose Smichas Gula Tefillah, but you're not being mafsik at all. You're not being mafsik in Kriya Shema. And that may be what Tosfos is assuming here, that even though you're allowed to be Shoam Mepnei Hayira and Meshif Mepnei Hakavod, that's still a hefsek in the middle of Kriya Shema. You're allowed to do so for whatever reasons. But given that you have a choice of waiting until after Gal Yisrael and then putting on your tefillin, so Tosfos may assume that would be better than doing it in the middle of the bracha.
You're saying he's going to put on tefillin if he's going to choose where to do the tefillin. Tosfos is assuming that that has to be after Gal Yisrael, because then he's not over the Mishnah's principle of interrupting, and he is then has to deal with maybe a lesser principle of the Gal Yisrael, because that's yeah.
Yes, okay. I have to, you know, I didn't think about this until you asked me this question now. I mean, I was bothered by the fact that what it was in the middle, but as we're discussing this, and I'm thinking that maybe it may very well be that that's why. But I have to look in, I have to check. B'li Nedar, I will check after Shir and see if the Shulchan Aruch says anything about this, if this issue is explicitly discussed. But I would have assumed, as I think about it, I would assume, as much as we love Smichas Gula Tefillah, nonetheless, it's not a hefsek in the way it's a hefsek in the middle of a chapter or between chapters of Kriya Shema.
And Rabbi, you also said that it's Amoraic versus Mishnah, or it's Tanyanic.
Yes, it's true, but that can cut both ways. Because if there were a if there's truly a contradiction, then we always follow the Basrai, the later authorities. There may not be a contradiction here. In other words, Rabbi Shua ben Levi is speaking in great praise of someone who's Somech Geulo Tvila. And even in Arvis, yes, it is. It's a great zechus to be able to do so, but it doesn't always happen. Like we saw, in, for example, those who daven Vasikin, and we discussed this when we looked at the issue of Vasikin, it may very well be that many of them said Birchas Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema early, hoping to finish with sunrise, but they just finished too early, and they had to sit around a few minutes before they could daven, and they weren't able to be still make Gula Tefillah because there was an interruption of time. And now we don't say to them, better to run Kriya Shema into the day and not be Mafsik Ben Gula Tefillah. Like, why not? Vasikin is nice, but now the answer might be the reason they don't is because Vasikin for some is really, really mitzvah men amovchar, me'ikar ha'den is to say Kriya Shema before sunrise. It doesn't have to be right before sunrise. Anytime after Misha Yakir, when you have a certain amount of light, and before Hanetzachama is the ideal time to say Kriya Shema. B'diavad, you can say it the 3 hours after sunrise. So it might be the very same issue is in play there, that it is better to say Kriya Shema before sunrise, even though you may not time it perfectly. And so you're going to be sitting around and waiting a few minutes before you can actually do the tefillah, and you're not going to have Smichas Gula Tefillah. But better to read Kriya Shema before sunrise than to get Smichas Gula Tefillah. And if you're lucky, you get both. Okay. So now going back to the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. Amar Ula, Kola Kore Kriya Shema Belo Tefillin, Ki Ilu Meir Eidah Sheker B'Yatzma, which we discussed already. Amar Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ki'ilu Hikrif Ola Belo Mincha V'Zevach Belo Nesachan. It's as if the person had brought a carbon ola, let's say of the carbon tamid. When you bring the carbon tamid, the Torah describes that you also have to bring a minchas nesachim with it. You bring a flour offering, a flour with oil and wine that you burn and slash pour on the mizbeach. So you're obligated when you bring an ola to bring a mincha, to bring that carbon mincha. And when you bring a zevach, which is a carbon shlamim, you also have to bring a mincha and nesachim and wine that you pour. So someone who reads Kriya Shema Tefillin is as if he brought an ola without a mincha and a shlamim, a zevach without nesachim. So just Rashi and Tosfos both point out, when you bring an ola and when you bring a shlamim, you're obligated for both to bring a mincha and a nesachim. They're part of one thing. You may be numb to this, but whenever you listen to the musafim, it's all about the numbers, right? When we read on Rosh Chodesh, you bring a par, ushlosha estronim, so less mincha b'lo v'ashem en la par achad, ushnei estronim, so less mincha b'lo v'ashem la ayel achad, v'isaron isaron, so less mincha b'lo v'ashem la keves ha'achad, right? And then we read v'niskehem, and the wine we pour is chatzi ahin yeh la par, ushlishis ahin la ayel, revihis ahin la keves yayin. So those nesachim, which entail flour and oil mixed together, burned on the fire, and wine, which is poured in this bath, it's all one package. So why does the Gemara say Ola below Mincha and Zevach below Nesachim? So Rashi and Tosfos both point out because it's patterned upon the Pasuk. Because the Torah at the end, I think of Parshas Pincha, says Ola u'mincha Zevach u'nesachim devar yom biyomo. That's just the phrase. Ola u'mincha Zevach u'nesachim. But yes, an Ola requires Zevach and Nesachim, and a Mincha requires, a Mincha and Nesachim, and a Zevach requires Mincha and Nesachim. Yes.
So this, if you don't have tefillin on when you're saying Kriya Shema, it's a bad thing. Nevertheless, we see that Rav, who didn't have tefillin, it didn't hold him back, though, from saying Kriya Shema. It's bad, but if you don't have it, if you're going to miss Kriya Shema, better to say Kriya Shema and that, you know, even if you don't have tefillin on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah quote Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif, where he observes that the difference between these two phrases actually is that when the first expression kol ha'korei kriya shma b'lo tefillin ki'ilu b'yishek me'atzmo, there's nothing wrong with kriya shma. You fulfill the mitzvah of kriya shma 100%. It's just in doing so you did something else that was wrong. You're like you made a d'shek be'atzmo. What Rabbi Yochanan adds, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Yochanan, is that when you bring an olan, you don't bring the mincha, or you bring a shlamim, you don't bring the sachem, the mitzvah is incomplete. You've done part of the mitzvah, but you haven't completed the mitzvah. So the suggestion Rabbeinu Yonah makes is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it's not just that I fulfill the mitzvah kriya shma fully, but I have this other bad thing along with it. No, it means that I actually didn't do the mitzvah of kriya shma properly. It's a lack within the mitzvah itself. Now, either way, Sam, though, here's the issue. Firstly, the first one, someone who wears kriya shma without tefillin, is ke'ilu meir eder sheker biatzmo. So that one's not problematic at all, that Rav would have said kriya shma. Because the reason is simple. We don't say a woman who says kriya shma is ke'ilu meir eder sheker biatzmo because she's not mechuyavis to wear tefillin. We don't say that anybody reading Kriya Shema at night is ke'ilu meir eder sheker biatzmo, even though we speak about ukshartam le'osai yodecha, ukshartam asam le'sechem, because you're not obligated, you're not supposed to be wearing tefillin at night. So tefillin, not wearing tefillin when you say Kriya Shema, is only meir eder sheker biatzmo when you have a choice to be wearing Kriya Shema tefillin, when you're supposed to be wearing tefillin, you have the option and you turn it down. If you can't wear tefillin, either because you're not obligated, because you don't have, or it's night, so that's not made a the shek of the atzma. So for Rav to do what he did for the first reason, for sure, for Ula, certainly there's no lack whatsoever. It could be that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is something of a lack in Rav's mitzvah kriya shema, but he had no choice because his choice was read kriya shema without tefillin or don't read kriya shema at all. So better half a loaf than no loaf. That was probably the terms in which he was thinking.
Because he was still makabel ol malchus shemayim, right? I mean, it's half, but he was makabel it.
Yes, but we would say, Isaac, that if there were enough time left, that better to wait to say kriya shema until the tefillin come, than to say kriya shema with earlier without tefillin. Right? That would be. I don't know. Now, when we have, well, it's usually on Shabbos anyway, so it's relevant. On Shabbos is usually the one day of the week where certain times of the year, Zman Kriya Shema is going to be later than we're going to get. So we say Kriya Shema earlier. But supposing it were during the week. So if Zman Kriya Shema were passing and you weren't going to put on tefillin, because let's say, I don't know, somebody was making a late minyan, they were having a bris, and you weren't going to daven earlier, but you have to say Kriya Shema. So if you get Kriya Shema Bizmana. So the question is, you know, how ideal is that, that you're saying Kriya Shema without tefillin? But everybody, I think, would agree that if, in fact, you were not, you had enough time. In other words, the minyan wasn't so late. You like to daven hashkama, but somebody's making a bris at the regular minyan during the week. And it would be better probably if you, again, to wait to say Kriya Shema, since it's going to be bismana anyway, till you put on your tefillin. So if you have no choice, if Zman Kriya Shema is passing, for sure say Kriya Shema, without a doubt. But if it's not, so then it's a choice to be saying Kriya Shema without the tefillin.
Okay.
I think we'll stop here. We have a little bit more to do on this topic of Kriya Shema and tefillin and Netilas Yadayim. We'll do that until the Mishnah, and then it's on to other pastures. Any questions?
Rabbi, I guess if you hold. Oh, sorry.
No, David, go ahead. I'll listen to you first.
Thank you, Ani. I guess if you hold it that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is just the first. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? Then, and there is no edus there about tefillin in that pasuk. So it seems difficult that it would really take away from the Kiyama mitzvah there. Most of what we've learned, the mitzvah is really the first pasuk, right?
Well, only maybe. In other words, a lot of Rishonim do not assume that way. And firstly, you could start with the following. And I would say the following, except for the Rambam, there's the only Rishon who would say, you know, we focused on Kavana more in the first Pasuk than anything else. But most Rishonim would say that there's still a mitzvah of Kriya and the rest of Kriya Shema, that might be the Raisa. Oh, there's one exception. The Rambam sounds like, and there might have been one other Rishon with him, when the Gemara in Yud Gimel Amud Beis speaks about someone who read it misnamnim, dozing, that he's Yatzah, and then the Gemara says that somebody would tell his Eved, you know, bother me to keep me awake, you know, for the first Pasuk. So most Rishonim say it doesn't mean that you don't read the rest of Kriya Shema. It just means you're dozing when you read the rest of Kriya Shema. But the first Pasuk where you acquire Kavana, that's where you really have to be focused. Only the Rambam did it sound like, and maybe one other Rishon, did it sound like first Pasuk and that's it. And then you can let me doze off sleep and not say the rest of it. So that's the only opinion that I think believes that the first pasuk alone is doraisa. The other Rishonim would say, kavana may only be required for the first pasuk, but kriya might be required for other psukim as well. So that's all. So if once you say that, then what we're talking about here, not just kabbalah samach shemayim, but kriya shema, and that's going to include kshartam, etc. It's a better question for the Rambam. Why is it so integral? If you don't really need, if just mid Rabbanon. Lenny.
So our practice is to put on tefillin very early in the process of prayer. And with prayer taking as long as it does, especially in a kavodik minyan, so oftentimes things come up in the middle and one has to take off one's tefillin, whether it's a bathroom break or an emergency in the house or something. When one returns to the tefillin, does one always recite a bracha again before putting them back on, or does it depend how much tefillah you had gotten through when you took them off?
Well, when you go to the bathroom, for sure you put on you bank another bracha. The reason for that is that since you can't wear them when you're in the bathroom, it constitutes a hafsaka. There's a whole debate about what's the story with the talis when you go to the bathroom. And I think it's a machlokas and I can never remember what we're supposed to do. I think I've changed my mind back and forth. But tefillin, if you take a break, it would depend upon the context. But if it's a situation, I would say, firstly, if it's a situation where you're not allowed to be wearing tefillin, like going to the bathroom, for sure you have to make a bracha. And if it's any situation where you have a hesech hadas, where you kind of, your mind slips with tefillin, you would also put the tefillin back on. It would probably be a rare circumstance that you wouldn't make the bracha. I mean, it's not comparable, but if the tefillin accidentally slip off, let's say your shoyad falls really to a place where you're not yotze, when you put it back, but that's because it was unintentional, you have to make another bracha on it. So I don't remember what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let's say you need to give somebody a hand, and in order to do that, like when we do Hagba, so we have to take the strap over him, but we don't take the tefillin off. But supposing with the equivalent where you had to take the tefillin off for 2 minutes in order to assist them, I don't remember what the Shulchan Aruch says about that particular case. Assuming you weren't Mesiach Das, you didn't sort of, have an attention gap from not about your tefillin.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Rabbi Weider?
Yes.
Before we go, I know it's over time, but something from the Megillah. The in Perek Tet, when it talks about...
I'm going to stop the recording, but hold on. I'll answer the question.
I'm not recording.